once in a while. He's good all the time. Oh, I said, my God, he's good. You know he is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole. Amen. How many of you can truly say this morning that God has been faithful? Amen. How many of us can truly say we have been faithful? Put your hands down. You ain't done it. We've not always been faithful. But He has always been faithful. Do you love Him with all your heart this morning? Give Him one more big hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Praise the Lord. We serve a risen Savior today. We serve a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He's alive today. I'm glad He's alive in us. Are you glad about it? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Sunday morning. Boys, play some more of that. Play like you believe it this time.
Good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
He serves the whole world over.
Hallelujah.
And no greater friend you'll find.
Oh, now He's not good
once in a while,
but He's good all the time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say we're fixing to have church. We're awake and we're alert and we're fixing to have church. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Bill Blair, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord this morning on behalf of our prayer request. Got some good singers going to be singing for you this morning. The LaFontaines are here. Don't know exactly who or how many, but they're going to be singing. Sister Anna, Sister Cindy, Sister Tamika, they're going to be singing. So got some good singing for you this morning. Brother Roger and Sister Sue Miller offers this testimony. We want to thank the Lord for taking care of our little four-year-old niece on Friday. She was run over by a pickup truck. The tire tracks were even marked on her clothing. However, after only about 2 hours, she walked out of the emergency room with a big smile and absolutely no internal or external injuries. We are calling this just another one of our big God's little miracles. I also want to thank everyone who helped us pray during this time. We love you all. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God's good. Amen. I want to pray for Kyle Dunbar. He has infected ears with a ruptured eardrum and a lot of pain. Sister Janet Lehman sends that in. Teresa White wants us to have prayer for a friend of hers, Chris Richardson. He's a young man in his 20s. The doctors do not know what's wrong. Just going over a lot of things. He's in a tremendous amount of pain, not able to walk. It's been about 3 weeks. And so they're just asking that we would remember that prayer request. I want to pray for Sister Dee Dixon. She's sick this morning, needs healing in her body. Sister Janet Payne says, thank the church for your prayers. For my cousin, she is out of the intensive care and doing so much better. Also, her sister is better. Also, she wants to praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Please remember Sister Estep in prayer. Very sick this morning, needs healing. Sarah Ellis sends this in to please have prayer for England Ellis, who is to have an operation on his stomach. Please pray that it's not cancer. The doctors seem to be leaning that way, so let's pray for that need. Sister Christine Baker says to please have prayer for Gary Lyons. He's to have a serious operation on his throat. He is Christine Baker's brother, so let's remember that need as we pray today. That the Lord would just be mindful of those needs. This announcement, the McNulty family, Brother John, Sister Heather McNulty and family, we would like to thank the church for the incredible outpouring of love and support for our daughter's wedding. We deeply appreciate everyone's hard work and patience as we brought our northern wedding traditions to life in the South. There is no way to properly thank each one, as we have probably not even met some of the people that had part in the hard work that went into the day. The special thanks to the Bailey family, Blair, Ward, Hunt, McGrady families, Uncle Bobby, Sister Pat Short, just to name a few. We also want to say how much we appreciate Sister Lisa and the Horniak family for carrying so much of the load, as it was difficult for our family to plan a wedding so far away from home. It's been precious watching your church group function together as a body. We feel peaceful that our children are in another good church home. God bless each and every one of you is our prayer. So it was a beautiful wedding yesterday. And we thank the Lord for that couple. Let me make one more announcement this morning. It'll be snowing by the time this takes place. Brother Sam Wyko. Bless his heart. Where's Brother Sam at this morning? He's here somewhere. I saw him. I thought I did. Yeah, right back here. Brother Sam and Sister Laura Wacko are happy to announce the engagement of their daughter Rachel to Levi Lunsford. The wedding will be December the 9th, 2016. Cold weather. Praise the Lord.
Hey, amen. Right?
So these announcements, along with all that's going on right now, we're just tickled to death to be part of it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you love the Lord? You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about this morning. Could we stand, Brother Bill, if you'd come this morning, take us to the Lord in prayer as we pray. We just commit these things unto the Lord. Sure appreciate and love Brother Bill and his family. Did you enjoy the song they sang a couple of weeks ago for us? That was so good, Brother Bill. I told Sister Myrna we're just going to move her back so she could sing with you all.
I'm all for it.
All right.
One of our big God's little miracles. Don't you like that? I told my wife yesterday at the wedding, I said, you know, I think we should redo our vows. Next year will be 40 years for us. And I said, I think I'm just now beginning to figure out what all that means, all the vows. You know, think you know what you're saying, but you don't. Oh, God's so good, isn't he? Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, my heart's just overflowing with thankfulness and gratefulness and joy for all you do. And I feel bad at the times when I get a little short-sighted and I think some urgent situation is pressing on me, forgetting how you know the end from the beginning. And I heard it said recently, when things seem out of control, they're only out of control to you. And not talking about God, talking about us. And I realize, Lord, that's the way our lives are. We get all upset and nervous, and in reality, you're still totally in control and nothing has changed for you. So I just ask you to open our eyes and our understanding a little better to that this morning, Lord. And even though these requests that we pray for, some are urgent and some are, we're thanking you for things, let us realize that this is not out of your plan. There's no surprises in this to you. Nothing catches you off guard. And I just believe, Lord, when we see that on a daily basis, our lives change, our attitudes change, our hearts change, and we can just rejoice in the great God that we serve. I just want to thank you this morning, Lord, for every need that you're going to meet and for every need you've met. And for each individual in this place whose heart is turned towards you, may you bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Bill, God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. I'll never be able to mention all of you, but we're certainly glad for all of you that are here. Have some folks visiting for Brother Jason Watkins Assembly in South Carolina. Where would you folks be? Would you just raise your hand? Wherever you would be, give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you here. Any other visitors that we have, we welcome you. God bless you. We're glad you're here. And all those that are streaming this service today from around the world, we pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a little song this morning. We was going to do one, but we've decided to do another. Brother Brad, you and Brother Daniel, if you can find it. Let's sing that little song. Actually, I heard Brother John Paul LaFontaine sing this song first here at the church. And we just kind of adopted it, wore it out four or five times over. But I can't think of a better thing to do this morning than to bless the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does he mean the world to you today? Is he the greatest thing that ever got a hold of your life? Where would you be in this world today without hope in Christ? How would you like to be out in this world groping in darkness and in sin with all that's going on in this old world today? I wouldn't want to at all. I'm glad our hope is in the Lord. Are you glad about it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Give me one more hand clap of praise. Let's sing it this morning. I bless your name.
Prisoner's chain with bleeding stripes.
Oh, yes.
Paul and Silas prayed that night.
Sing it now.
And in their pain began to sing. The chains were loose.
Oh, yes, they were.
And they were
to see you, church. Oh, I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I give you honor. I give you praise. You are alive, the truth, the way.
Oh, yes, you are. I bless your name.
I bless your
name.
Some midnight hour.
Amen.
If you should find,
oh, sing it to him. Oh,
you're in a prison.
Say praise the Lord. Amen. I want our special singers, if you'd come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us at this time. Let's sing a little chorus this morning. Our God reigns. I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad about that. You know, the devil, he just laughs and he huffs and he puffs and he says, you know, I've got this world right where I want it. I've got everything going just the way it needs to be going. He don't know. He's in the fight of his life and he's a loser. He ain't nothing but a big fat loser. That's all he is, a big fat loser. Somebody say he's a loser. Give your resurrected Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Sing. our singers a real nice hand this morning. You can be seated. God bless you.
I'm just happy to be here this morning. We've just been singing this song in church a couple times. It's called Worth, and just the thought that he thought we were worth saving. It's just amazing. It's just a worship song, so just join in and sing it if you know it. You thought I was worth saving.
Oh, yes.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving.
Oh yes.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving.
Thank you, Lord.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Up inside, you thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Hallelujah. I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free.
Once upon his back he knew this was the beginning of the end. With every fragile step he grew more and more determined to finish it. The world saw a man with a tree on his back, and they laughed. But God saw his son who he loved carry more than that. Oh, he didn't just carry a cross, he carried me. Close against his shoulders as he wept. And love beyond a moment scarred the hands and feet of one I've never met. The world saw a man die a martyr between two thieves. But God saw a lamb bridge the gap of eternity.
Lord Jesus. You believe that today?
Amen.
I think He wants it to be that personal to us, don't you? Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. Welcome each of you today to the house of the Lord. For those of you that wasn't with us last night, we were speaking about the will and the testament of the Lord Jesus. We'd like to pick up on that again today. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. For this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your word. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, to be living still yet in a country where we can gather together and worship according to the dictates of our hearts. We thank You, Father, that we have been so blessed to be able to walk in the evening light. We thank You for Calvary. We thank You for Pentecost. We thank You for all the wonderful things that You've done down through the ages and past. But we want You to know we are so grateful for our age as well. We thank You, Lord, that the light of God is shining so bright in this dark time. May it shine a little bit brighter today upon our hearts as we sit under the auspices of the anointing of the executor of the will. May You take Your will, Lord God, and read it to our hearts. Make it real to us. I can be able to study the will and try to read the will and try to understand it, but it takes inspiration from the executor himself to make it real to me, the preacher, and to them, the hearers. We ask You that You'd do that today. If You would do that, we would be so blessed when the service is finished. Speak to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We are truly a blessed people to be able to live under the estate and as it is being divided in this last day. Truly, the division started, of course, many, many years ago in the beginning of the New Testament dispensation. I know that it makes it somewhat difficult for people without understanding the differences in categories and groups. We know that God, in the beginning when He created angels, that He created them in degrees. And God creates people the same way. God disperses His gifts by the same way. Singing gifts, talents, preaching, whatever more, that God makes them by degrees. And God also has people who can believe in different degrees. You've got an element of people that can really, as far as they can go, is just become a church member and they sign the book and that sort of thing, and they'll never really amount to too much more than that. There's other people that can go a little bit farther, but then it seems like there's always that odd, peculiar minority, and they're never satisfied with just going to church. They're never satisfied with just knowing God in that sense. They have to know Him in a passionate, deeper way.
Yes. Amen.
I was hoping some of y'all would respond to that. You see, that's me I'm talking about. I was hoping it was some of you. You know, as I said, it's difficult for people who want to comprehend it that way. But for those of you who were here yesterday at the wedding that we had, or any wedding that you have been, you have sat there and witnessed categories of people. Yesterday, whenever we were gathered here together, there was several categories that were involved in this wedding. There was the bridegroom. There was the bride. There was family members. There were friends. There were guests that maybe some people didn't even know who they were. And yet every one of them come and they played their part and they sat there and they laughed when things were done that were said that were funny. And some of them were crying as I stood here and watched them as they were crying in sensitive type of parts. And yet each one of them were in a different category. Now, out of all the hundreds that was gathered, there was only one bride and one bridegroom. And what made that bride in her position was, it was not that everybody voted and said, all right, now we're going to have a raising of hands and we're going to help Brother Aaron decide who he wants to marry. Everybody that's for Sister Melissa, raise your hand. All right, then, all right, everybody that's against Sister Melissa, now raise your hand. Now, if you're for your daughter marrying Brother Aaron, then raise your hand. You see, but it was his decision. Now, surely you folks don't think that was evil and wicked, do you? Our Brother Aaron to pick that little dark-headed, tiny, little, small girl to be his wife, was that evil? Was that wicked of Brother Aaron to pick her above maybe your daughter or your niece or your granddaughter? Y'all really believe that was his choice? Really? And then you believe that it was her choice to be able to respond to his choice and say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. And then all the rest of you came in relation according to either knowing Brother Aaron and knowing Sister Melissa, or you were a friend of the family, or maybe you just come because you heard there's going to be a wedding and you just thought just come because it's free food. So you just actually came because really you wasn't kin to nobody, but you thought there might be some free food and you thought you'd come for that. Now you realize that in the gospel dispensation, it is very much like that sort of thing. That there is a bride and there is family members and there are friends of the family. Some folks are here from Phoenix, some were here from Ohio, some from Michigan, some from different places, and yet gathered together for that one purpose. And yet many of them that were friends were not family, and some of them that were just guests were not friends or family, and they just came. And yet we look at the gospel dispensation and realize in the kingdom of God there is a group called the elect. That's proven to us by the scripture that is identified as the bride. We know also there are the foolish virgins or the Gentiles that will come up in the whosoever will group. Now they're not chosen as the bride, but yet they will be saved and they will outnumber the bride many, many, many times. And there is 144,000 that will be called after the bride leaves this world, and they will receive the seal of the living God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then, of course, we know in the white throne judgment, there will be those, according to Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, then shall the king say unto them, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, so on and so on. Then shall the righteous say unto him, we never saw thee this way. When did we ever do this to thee? When you did this to the least of these, my brethren, watch the category change, to the least of these of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, according to the scripture, then, there are categories of people in the kingdom of God. So in the writing of the will, the testator, when he was here, he would address the different types of people, the different categories. Now, remember, the testament is not of effect until the death of the testator. So Jesus, in the predating all the reading of the will, he's giving to the people that want it mercy, salvation, grace, and giving them deliverance. All kinds of things was happening in their lives. But the New Testament had not yet been written and was not written for some 30 years after the Lord Jesus had ascended. The book of James, according to history, is the first New Testament book that was written, which was written around 60 AD. So the apostles now were preaching the New Testament without the New Testament being written. So what were they preaching then? They were preaching from the stories they knew. They were preaching from the word that was written in their lives. They were preaching under the administration of the executor himself. Now, may I say so you don't understand me, that if we just tried to read the will itself without the headship of the executor, it is proven we will get it messed up. And that's what's happened down through the church ages. Now, this is the difference of opinions. This is why we have so many denominations and so many different groups down through the ages, is that different preachers trying to define what's in the will. So then people will read it and say, well, there can't be a rapture because look over here in tribulation period. John saw the church over there. But others will say, no. There's got to be a rapture because Paul said here there's a catching away. So what do? They separate. And the predating of the Civil War time of the Baptist church is pretty much one great group. Until some begin to look at it and they begin to see that there was some predestination in the scripture. So then they begin to debate it among their brothers, and they had a real argument.
agreement. And they decided to actually split and go a separate way. So they made themselves a title and called themselves Free Will Baptist. Now they looked at it that they themselves were the one that had the sovereignty to be able to choose whether or not they could go. Now they were partially right, but they were partially wrong. You see, man always will look at his own understanding if he's not careful, and he will read the will through his own understanding. What mama said, what daddy said, well, I sent in this church and they believed that this or that, and this is why we get so many different opinions. And the great debate today among religion is who is right and who is wrong. Now the Muslims, the Arab speaking population of the world, they say that it was Ishmael that Abraham offered to God, not Isaac. Oh, you didn't know that. Well, that's the truth. Now, the reason that they must have a new scripture is because you won't find that in this one. So what do they do? Then, of course, they come up with the Quran. Now, in the Quran, you will find, I have one of them, I know it myself, you will find that their Quran says that it was Ishmael. But I hate to disagree with the great population of the world, but it's wrong. God never vindicated the Quran. He vindicated this. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you got quiet. Why y'all get scared on me for? Well, we get all tense and tired. Brother Donnie, we got to be politically correct. You may have to. I don't. I got to be God correct, not politically correct. Now, so the debate is on and on and arguing and fussing. Well, who gets this in the will? It's the same way in a family. When a family goes to reading a will, you know, of a mother, a father, an uncle, whatever more, and they go, well, I wanted that. And no, you can't get that. I get that. And this is mine and that's mine. And the same thing is going on spiritually since the breaking of the New Testament. Now, if people would look at election, predestination, foreknowledge, calling, and all of that through the understanding that God in his own character set forth this attribute in the Old Testament first, there wouldn't be near as much confusion as what there is now. Same way with the Godhead. Now, if you look at the Godhead in the New Testament through the view of the Godhead in the Old Testament, you won't come up with two and you won't come up with three, you'll come up with one. But if you try to read it through the New Testament whenever Jesus is saying about himself and about the Father, and then you read it as if though there's two separate people, but if you go back to the foundation of Christianity, which was birthed out of Judaism, which is the reason we call it Judeo-Christian, then you will understand there's not three gods, but there's only one God. And that God became flesh, and Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Praise the Lord. He's Almighty God. He's not one of the Almighty Gods, because there ain't three Almighty Gods. There's only one Almighty God, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in looking at the will, then, the dispensation or the dispersing of the Father's estate is what's in such controversy today. Now, some would believe that everybody that is a professed Christian, you accept Christ as your Savior, the whole mass of Christianity is going in the rapture. Well, if that's so, then who's going to be here for the tribulation period? And if nobody goes in the rapture, who's going to fulfill 1 Thessalonians 4? So there must be a further clarification of the will itself to be able to determine if there is a scriptural question, there has to be a scriptural answer. If there is a scriptural debate, then somewhere there must be an answer that is true. Is this right? So then we would have to be able to go back to the scripture itself and find out when the will was actually written and when the testator was here. Did the testator himself set forth diversities of groups in the oncoming economy of God? He did. I quoted it to you last night that Jesus would preach to the parables, and when he got the disciples together, they asked him the question, why is it that you speak to the people in parables and yet you speak to us this way? He said, it is given to you to know the mysteries of God, but to them I speak only in parables. So here Jesus is making a divine differentiation between groups and categories of people. Did Jesus take everybody up with him on the Mount Transfiguration? Did Jesus take even all of the apostles in certain special places? But there was three certain men that got more intimate, personal, personal experiences with the Lord Jesus and even all the rest of the apostles. That was Peter, James, and John. Is this the scripture? Now, this is the choice of the Lord Jesus, and yet he is the testator himself. Now, let's look at the elect group first, and then we will go into the other groups. And they're very important now. We've emphasized, I know, for many, many years in the message about the elect. Only if you're not in the message, you're not going to be there at all. But we find out we're growing up a little bit, hopefully. And we know there's going to be many more of them than there are of us. And God loves them. I said God loves them. God saves them. God wants to heal them. Miracles just ain't for the elect. Salvation just ain't for the elect. Oh my. And I hope this don't blow your false teeth out in your wig, but if it does, we'll save it for you and you can get it after church. Listen to this. What has to happen to a pig to make him want to be a lamb? If something has to come down and change his being. Is that right? So who has to do that? Your whole nature's the other way. God has to do it. God speaks and your nature begins to seek after God. Now you see, this is what people think is their own choice. This is what they remember in their mind 20 years ago or 40 years ago. They remember that something happened to them, and that's why they get all bent out of shape when they think you're trying to take this from them. I'm not trying to take that from you. I just want you to understand who the source is. It's him and not you. And you say, I remember something got a hold of me. I agree with you. And that always ought to be sacred, but you need to know where it come from. Glory to God. God has to do it. God speaks, and your nature begins to seek after God. Why is that so hard, friends? God speaks. God simply speaks, and your nature begins to seek after God. That's when God is dealing with you. Before anything can happen out here to make you be a Christian, something has to happen in the heart. Oh, glory. Something has to happen in the heart here to turn you to Christianity. That's right. It's election. It's election. God does that. Now again, he says, I believe this and know it. Jesus never went to the cross and died for some haphazard affair. Perhaps maybe somebody might feel sorry because he died, and so they come and get saved. God doesn't run his business like that. God runs his business by foreknowledge. Well, glory. God runs his business by foreknowledge, knowing before the world was ever formed who was his own. And the church said, we were in God's foreknowledge. We were saved before the foundation of the world. And Jesus came to die for those who God by foreknowledge had elected. Look, we're in an election year in our nation, and folks will be going to polls before long and voting for this and voting for that and voting for something else. But when it come to this election, God was the only one doing the voting. You better be glad your name was on the ballot. Hallelujah! It wasn't you voting yourself in. It wasn't the devil voting you out. It was God doing the voting, and God voted for you before the foundation of the world. Oh, glory. I love this in communion. You are not saved because you're a good person. Oh, I can say amen to that. You're saved because Christ chose you. No man seeks God. God seeks man. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And if we could stop here for just a few moments and realize the great importance of that one thing. You say, why do you keep saying this? If you don't get this thing right, it will affect you the rest of your walk with God. This thing is so important that you understand. You don't save yourself. You don't, oh, Brother Donnie, I never thought I did. You're holding on to your free moral agency like you do. Well, glory. Notice this. He says, The great importance of that one thing. It was God who chose you. Not willing that you should perish, but give you the opportunity and called you and elected you to be his servant. Why? What could be more precious than that? Children, it ought to make us so rejoice that God called us. When it makes folks mad, I don't understand it. When folks get all bent out of shape and they hear these quotes, I simply cannot comprehend it. I feel like crying, running, shouting, jumping up and down, hollering. Glory. Oh my. Everybody ready for the raining portion of this quote? Everybody take a deep breath now. He elects you to be a servant. Why? What could be more precious than that? What about you having a choice? If you see your neighbor hyperventilating, take your elbow and ram them real good and they'll catch the breath. Without you having a choice, it would be totally impossible for any man to seek God, for he's by nature, he's a sinner. And he has nothing within him to give him a desire to serve God. Well, you said, Brother Donnie, then where does that put non-elect? In the same place. Don't you see, God's mercy is so great not only to the elect, but in the non-elect. They can't serve him either. They can't seek him either. But he wants them to be saved so bad, he will move on them. When they see a church sign or a book or some sign somewhere, or they pick up a Gideon's Bible in a motel, and the Spirit of God wants them to be saved so bad, he will move on their heart and say, there's a better way. There's a better way. You don't have to live this way. Who does that? Almighty God. Grace, not just to the elect, every mortal. If not, there'd be nobody saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When God met Abraham, now Abraham received the covenant without any merits at all. The covenant was made with Abraham. It's absolutely grace altogether. Abraham was not a better man. He was not a holiness man. He was just an ordinary man. And God by election chose Abraham because God elected him, not because Abraham wanted it. Some of you Free Will Baptists won't say it, so I'll say it for you. Some of you wasn't searching for God. You wasn't looking for God, and you didn't want God. God wanted you before you wanted him. And that day that you remember that something got a hold to you, I'll tell you what it was. Not because Abraham was a good man, because he had no merit at all. But it was God's choice. God took Abraham. Now, in this, the bride, the elect, the foolish virgin, the 144,000, many parts of the will they all share. And believe it or not, on equal parts. Healing, deliverance, salvation. Many things in the will of God can be run right straight across the board, whether you're bride, non-bride, foolish virgin, or whatever more. We know that God heals people that aren't elect. Jesus said when he was here, Brother Branham never had a prayer line for the elect and another prayer line for non-elect. But he had a prayer line for people. And elect and non-elect come through the prayer line. Jesus prayed for the people. He didn't differentiate as far as prayer for them or for their needs. And we know that there are many people outside of our own ranks that have miracles and healings. Why? Because God loves them. Well, if God loves them, we ought to love them. God don't want them to go to hell. If there's something in you that wants them to go to hell, you ain't like God yet. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he didn't say the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the token. Watch scriptural terms now. Now, let's pick up again what we left off last night in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. When Paul is dealing with the elect, now he makes this charge so defiantly under the inspiration, of course, of the executor. And he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Notice he doesn't say the church. Or he doesn't say whosoever will, or whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely. But he picks out a certain category and says, who would dare lay anything to the charge of God's chosen? Amen. And then he answers, why? It is God that justifies. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Not just by prayers now, not by Jesus and, oh, Father, forgive them, oh, Father, forgive them. His own personal presence before the throne of God is all the mediatorial work that you need. His presence. Notice this in Romans again, chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice these who's. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall be able to do this? Now he asks this question. Who shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ? I want you to notice, he's not saying our love to Christ. It's Christ's love for us. There's many things in our walk with God that we've let get between us and God. There's times that our love gets cold. There's times our love gets weak. But let me shock you in saying this today. There has absolutely never been one thing that has ever turned Christ's love towards you. There has never been one thing you have ever done or will ever do that has the power to turn or weaken Christ's love for his election. Why? Because it is of an eternal source. We love and we get fervent and then we back off. And then we get fervent and then we back off. Aren't you glad his love is constantly persistent? When you get down, you ought to take these verses of scripture and box the devil's jaws with them. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Y'all believe what you're saying no to? Who? Who? But is this so for everybody? Now watch. When some people get in distress, what do? They blame God. So what do? Quit serving him. Now does that mean that God, if they're elected, God quits loving them? God, now, listen to me. God don't love you anymore now that you got the Holy Ghost than he did when you're sitting on the bar still drinking. He loves your ways better. But the gene seed inside of you was eternal. It never started. Well, glory. Come on now, church. But we base God's love by the way we love. And we love conditionally many times. And we will love our children more when they're in church and serving God. They need your love when they're out away from God. In one sense, more than they do when they're in church. But sometimes us parents tend to show them less love. But they need our love and our support. Don't mean that you go along with what they do that's wrong. But they need to know you love them, whether they're in, whether they're out, whether they're up, whether they're down. That's the way God loves you. God loved you when you were smoking. God loved you when you were drinking. God loved you when you was whoring around. And God loved you before the foundation of the world. And there is nothing who can separate us from the love of God. Not our love for him, his love for us. Romans 8:36 says, it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Notice how through him that loved us. You are not a conqueror just because you love God. There ain't a one of you sitting here, if you've been saved very long at all, that your love ain't been like this. That's why we need revivals. Praise the Lord. We get on fire and then we cool down a little bit. Going to church? No, let's not go tonight. Let's go up to Roan Mountain and sit underneath the oak trees. We'll go to Walmart and then we'll go to Sonic. You can do that on Monday night. But see, when your love's really where you want, you can't wait to get to the house of God. You're not come to hear Brother Donnie. You're not come to hear these preachers. You come to meet your bridegroom. You come to meet your bridegroom in the house of God and see what he's going to say to you. But you see, then your way, your love will kind of wax and wane as the moon does. That's what you are. So it will wax and wane and go back and forth. His love for you has never ended. It has never waxed and waned. It has never been up and down. When you have reached the spot in your life that in the sense of disappointment, you were so far away from what God wanted you to be, he loved you the same and loved you with fervency. Boy, it's hard for us humans to do that. You can tell those we love and we're right on cue with. So, how you doing, brother? God bless you. Oh, man alive. Give me a big old hug. And then when we have problems, how you doing? You ain't loving like God. You're loving like you. Hang on. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths. And Paul says, if I left out anything, let me just say it in the consummation by saying it this way, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, this is not your love. This is his love. When I was unlovable, he loved me. When I become more lovable, he didn't love me more. Now I hope I'm more lovable than I was a few years ago. But his love has not increased at all. It's only me that's increasing in love. Now let's look at redemption. Psalms 119 verse 9. Now let me not shock you too bad, but everybody that is savable is not redeemable. But everybody that is redeemable is both redeemable and savable. Now there again, to get the principle of redemption, don't just begin in the New Testament, but start in the Old. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. Now let's look in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. Ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Now remember, this is the promised land. The people actually did not own the promised land. God owned it. They were forbidden by God's law to ever totally sell or get rid of the land. It wasn't theirs. We could only understand that about our assets in life. Notice in verse 24, and in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it. Now notice the law of redemption does not begin in the New Testament. It begins in the Old Testament. Now to fully understand the work of redemption, we would have to go back to the originator who gave redemption in the first place. Now to the modern people, they think redemption is basically the same thing as saving. That somebody finding pardon is the same thing as redemption. But that's what it is, modern thinking. It's not scriptural thinking at all. Now here if a man becomes poor, in verse 25, If thy brother waxen poor and who sold some of his possession, any of his kin may come to redeem it. Then shall he be redeemed, or redeem that which his brother has sold. So a man lives on so many acres in the land and he becomes poor and someone else has the money to buy it. Now remember, it's not a permanent thing, but he might be able to keep it for 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, unto the year of Jubilee. Now, but up before that time, if he had a father, an uncle, a cousin, a brother, but the only one that could actually redeem this property had to be somebody kin to him. So it couldn't be somebody from another country that would come and redeem this man. It had to be a Jew. So in order to redeem somebody, you got to be kin to that somebody. But now you could save somebody that you wasn't kin to, but you couldn't redeem them. Hello? Now watch, whenever the land then was sold, and it was absolutely on demand of the Redeemer. Now if a man purchases this land under a temporary custody is what it was, and he will say, well, I'll give you X amount of shekels for so many years. Then his cousin hears that he has got poor and he's waxed in debt, and he needs someone to help him. The cousin goes to the man's house who is now holding this temporary lien on this property. And he says, I demand my cousin's property back. He is not held by a certain time frame. They cannot write up a contract and say it cannot be bought to a certain day. Any time the price can be paid by a kinsman, the lien holder has to turn them loose. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now notice who it is, though, that must redeem it. Any of his kin. So you got to be kin to your Redeemer. He had to sell it back when the Redeemer demanded it. Do you think the devil wanted to let you go? Don't you understand why it had to be forced on his hand? Your Goel came and made him give you up. He took you away from the devil. The devil wasn't willing to let you go. He loved doing all he done to you, tormenting you, and all the things that he done. But our kinsman Redeemer came to the earth and had payment and said, give him up, devil. Give him up, devil. I've come back to redeem my own people. Give him up. Of course, this term in the Hebrew was goel. Notice in verse 26, and if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, of course, he could do it himself. But of course, we didn't have the worth, did we? We was all so poor and so rotten in sin. But our kinsman did. Now watch verse 47. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by thee wax poor, and sell himself. Lord, children, can't you see what sin does? When people sell themselves to alcohol and drugs, when they sell themselves to the things of the world, it ought to put something inside of us as the people of God to want to reach out with everything we can. Sell himself unto the stranger or the sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. Oh my. After that he is sold away, he may be redeemed again. One of his, who? One of his brethren may redeem it. Now what if some rich man though was a Babylonian? Or some rich man was a Chaldean? Maybe he was a businessman and he met this guy on occasion. And this rich man felt sorry for him and he said, you know what? I'm going to redeem you. Who are you? Oh, I'm a Babylonian. I'm living in the city of Ur and I'm a rich merchant. Sorry. Amen. Only kin folks can redeem kin folks. I hope today you're kin to God. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or he is able, he may redeem himself. Now remember, this symbolism is reflected all through the Old Testament. Now let's jump to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shallum, Thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. Look at the meaning of the word. Kin, kindred, right of redemption, price of redemption, or redemption price. Now remember, Jeremiah is in prison. The word of the Lord has come to this man and said, these people are going to Babylon. They're going to be carried away. But they will be brought back. And God is going to have the mystery of redemption in the transaction of purchasing a field. Now watch, verse 8. Hanamiel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Amen. Now, why don't he just put a for sale sign on it and sell it to whoever's coming by? They were forbidden by God's law. So this man comes to Jeremiah in the court of the prison. And he says, buy my field for the right of inheritance is yours. You are my goel. You're the next of kin. Buy this field. And I bought the field of Hanamiel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it. Now notice what they're doing. They are, oh glory to God, they are recording the purchase. Now I don't know if you understand this or not historically. There was actually two copies of this that would be made. One would be declared open and the other declared sealed. I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed in the money in the balances. Now the open deed was an exact copy of the sealed deed. Now what God is doing is showing prophetically. Remember, they're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. And they're going to take these deeds and they will be exact. So here's a portion of the word and here's a portion of the word. And you look at both of them and they say exact same thing. Except one copy of the word is sealed away. And the other copy of the word is in the open where you can read it. You know, written epistles, read and known of all men type of thing. Now what they're going to do is take both of these copies and they will have witnesses that will sign. I saw this, I verified this. They will record the open deed in the legal documents, but the sealed deed would be closed up in a vessel or a jar of clay. Glory. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The hidden deed will be recorded and sealed up in a jar of clay. You remember reading years and years after Jeremiah's death, whenever they digging around the old temple mound and they dug in there and found some jars and they found the writings of Jeremiah? Now, can you imagine when these people 70 years later return and they go to digging around in their garden or their yard and they take their mattock and hit down there and they hit something that makes a funny noise and they pull this out and here's this earthen vessel. You're about that tall, about that wide, weighs about 170 pounds, something like that. And they go to digging that vessel out, and when they do, they open it up and they break the seal and they say, dear God, here's the prophecy. Jeremiah bought this field 70 years ago. And Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, they will return. And here stands a man reading the prophecy of the hour and identifying himself with the field. Don't you understand what we're doing, friends, in this hour? We have, oh, hallelujah, made known to us the open sealed book, and we are reading our inheritance in the book. So they take this one and they wrap it up. They put a lid in the jar. And then they bury it. They record the open deed. If there's ever any question of the authenticity of the word in the open deed, the mystery can be revealed and the seals loosed out of the hidden deed. But they'll say the same thing. Don't you see? You are the reciprocating part. You're the duplicate copy of his original thinking. His thoughts of what he thought for you. What good does it do to have a message on the earth if there's not some open copy sure to respond to it? For whom he did foreknow, he did previously mark out copies of the likeness of the Son of himself. And what did he do? He put this mystery in our very souls. Take our food from us. Take our places to live. Take our clothes. Take our homes, our automobiles. But you can't have this word. So now both of these copies are delivered, in this case, to Baruch. Baruch was a scribe. So the scribe writes down the word. Ah, Baruch. Witnessed on this certain day that Hanamel's son came and approached Jeremiah to buy his field. I, Baruch, witness this. I have written it down on such and such a day, 558 B.C. I also, and the angels of Revelation 10 and Revelation 5, we have all witnessed this. I'm trying to be nice, but from this point on, I'm not sure. Oh, hallelujah. So they subscribed the purchase and put it in a book. Is it any wonder that there was a call made in Revelation chapter 5 for someone to come and get the book? Notice in Jeremiah 32:11, I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. Two identical copies. So one is the seed gene inside of a human vessel. It can lay there dormant in the dust and the dirt for years. But all of a sudden, the eagle comes over the barnyard. If the exact copy is in question, the mystery can be revealed to identify who you are. I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, and the side of Hanamel, my uncle's son, in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. Amen. What a place to buy a field. I kind of understand that feeling. I'm living right in the middle of Satan's Eden. There's prisoners all around me everywhere, and we're the only ones in this place that's free. I'm talking about really free. Yes, Satan, he makes a claim, this is mine, and I'll do this, that, and the other way. He's doing all that, but right in the court of the prison, I have been set free. The purchase has been authenticated, and I am testifying that I have an exact copy of the original document, which began as an attribute in the mind of God. For you were foreordained for him to be his bride before the foundation of the world, and you have embedded in your soul an exact copy of his thought. That's what it is. Brother Daniel, let's run down to Revelation chapter 5, part 2. Brother Bram says, and now our kinsman is handed the seven seal book of redemption from the original owner. The original owner. When we lost it at the Garden of Eden through Adam, it went back to the original owner, but there's been a poacher on the land. In case you don't know it, I'm loaded for him. You can't see it today, but I'm ready. Come on, put your suckers up and get a gun out and follow me. If you brothers have prime hunting territory and you know there's a poacher and they say, God bless you. Enjoy all my deer, all my rabbits, all my squirrels. Have a good time. You'd put up cameras. You'd do everything in the world. What are you looking for? A face. So you can identify a name with that face. Well, let me tell you something. You got a poacher squatting on your healing. You've got a poacher squatting on your deliverance. And he's trying to keep you away from the peace of God. Are you going to let that devil rob you? Or are you going to set up a camera and take his picture and go right back to that word? Uh-huh. That's who I thought it was. I thought it was you, you thief, you liar. But I brought my double barrel shotgun full of the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. I've got Old and New Testament. I'm going to blow you right back to hell with it. Or you can go to Big Lots and get you one of them candy guns. It's got a sucker on one end, you know. The devil, you better leave me alone. Because if you don't, I'm gonna call Brother Donnie. He'll lie worse than you are. You folks need to be a walking arsenal. You need to leave your Samsung at home. You need to leave your iPad and your iPod and your eye this and your eye that and find out who you really are. You need to load your pockets with spiritual hand grenades. I mean, you need to have rocket launchers in your back pocket. You need to be loaded down to, oh my, you've got loaded so much if anybody's seen lots of cigarette near you, they're in danger in their life. You've got traces of gunpowder on your fingers. It's on your nose. It's on your eye. You are a walking stick of dynamite. And you're not out to kill people, but you're watching for that poacher. Come on, devil. You try to rob my joy. You try to rob my peace. You try to rob my healing. You're a poacher on my property. I've got both copies. I've got the original copy, and I've got the power of God of that duplicate copy down in my soul. Satan, you are no match for me and Jesus. Oh, glory to God, you are no match for me and Jesus. You see, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it's real easy to make them statements. But then on Monday morning, some of you's like this. Devil, honestly, I just got worked up. I didn't mean that. I know I got under his anointing yesterday, and I felt like I could tear your head off. Please, devil, I was only teasing, really. I didn't mean it. Don't get all tore up at me, please. I wonder if you've got an exact copy. Notice this. There's been a poacher on the land. A squatter. And that's Satan. The next time he tells you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, ask him for his orders. So did God tell you to do this to me? Where did you get your orders? The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But the testator said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Anybody believe it? Notice this earth don't belong to him, it belongs to God. But he's a poacher, a squatter. Man, I could say something right now, but I better not. It is the title deed of our redemption. The seven sealed book, it's the title deed. You wait till we get those seals. He breaks the seals. reveals and gives us His inheritance. Lord Jesus, He gives us His inheritance to His people. So actually, because He was willing to become the testator, God gives Him everything. The eternal spirit, the invisible God. So He is everything now. He has it all. But He says, I don't want it all. I want to share it with my wife. Not only that, I want to share it with people that ain't my wife. Now, don't you think it'd been quite rude of the family members of the bride and of the groom yesterday? If over at the pavilion at the reception, and how many other people went over there? I wasn't able to go myself because of studying for tonight and last night and today, rather. But there's a sign, no one eats here but family members. So what does God do? He has preachers in the denominations. And they'll preach love and mercy and grace. Not all of them's going to be lost. There's some of them that are blind. Well, you message folks always get tired, don't you? What makes you all so stingy with eternal life? Why are you so stingy? It ain't yours, no way. This eternal life ain't yours. It belongs to God. If God wants to give it away, let Him give it away. So what's He do? There's no doubt there's some denominational churches and charismatic churches and independent churches around the Tri-Cities today. No doubt the Lord heals some of them folks. No doubt some of them heard something really encouraging to help them press on in their scope or their walk of life. But I couldn't eat there. Now if you can, go ahead. But when you're used to eating where I eat. Now I agree, when I first started out, I was only dropped a grain here and a grain there. I hopped upon the field of my kinsmen, boys. And I was going through there picking up a little grain here and a little grain there and another little grain. But then my kinsman rode up on his horse. My Boaz, which according to the scripture is a mighty man of valor. And the word mighty is Gabor. From El Gabor. So the mighty man rides upon his horse and said, who's that over there? And they said, he's a Pentecostal preacher. Just lately left Pentecost. Come to the message. Oh. Well, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to start dropping handfuls of purposefully. So I went up to the Monticello Banking Company and borrowed a bunch of money. And I went up to Jeffersonville and I bought the tapes. And I hauled home carloads on purpose. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus is so mindful of you? You mean He could pick out that woman? There was hundreds, no doubt, of gleaners in the field. But she found favor in His eyes. Little did she know when she looked up at that man, he was fixing to become her Goel. Praise be to God. Notice the prophet said, we find our kinsman redeemer. And he took the book out of the original owner. It is a title deed of redemption. We found that. You remember the study? It's a title deed of redemption. It's an abstract deed. God required life for death from the Garden of Eden. Then Jesus, the righteous one, died and took a title deed. And was able to break the seals, reveal what was in them. What was in the seals? The mystery of your inheritance. Glory. Praise God. Brother Donnie, does the foolish virgin have something in there? They will. They will. Every foolish virgin must be saved before Ruth is taken in the rapture. Notice this again, the breach. The title deed to eternal life. Abstract title deed of eternal life. And Adam forfeited for wisdom instead of faith. It went back into the hands of the owner, Almighty God. What a great thing. All right, waiting. I love this statement. What is it doing? in the hands of God, waiting for redemption claims. So the book has to be redeemed before the contents can be revealed. God has to have a purchase price to release the book. A price has got to be paid. This is why that he can justify the elect by declaration. For it was against him that we had sinned. And if he says you're pardoned, who's going to argue with that? So Jesus the Lamb, the attribute of God in humanity, takes the book, purchases the book of redemption. What's the opening of the seals? To tear the mysteries loose that the believers... Listen, friend, Paul never preached the seven seals. Luther never preached them, never understood nothing about them. When was it given? In the end time. Don't you understand? It was not a prophet just coming down to the earth. Christ Jesus himself has visited our earth in this generation. Not Brother Branham now, but Christ Jesus coming and taking that book. Who was it preaching those seals in Jeffersonville? It was not William Branham so much. It was Christ. What's he doing? He's breaking off the inheritance so his people can see who they are. Their whole seeing who they are is the capping off of this city. Here you are at the top of the city. You're the last ones, the pyramid. The whole, all the saints that have died down through the ages from the beginning of the reading of the will in the New Testament, they're all waiting the resurrection. Paul died 2,000 years ago, Peter, James, John, all them, and they're still waiting in the sixth dimension. They've never moved into the seventh dimension to see Jesus yet. They've never seen him yet. Why? Because he's standing there as a high priest. It would be unbecoming of him for them to see him with blood on him, as we'd say. So they're held in this place. And they're all waiting on you. So the Son of Man himself comes down and takes the book and tears off the seals. And when he does, he sends down the mystery to the seventh angel. And the seventh angel begins to sound the mystery of God, that it should be finished at that time. All the mystery, the declaration of God. And part of that is you seeing who you are. And when you rise to that spot where it's up as high as it can go, then the capstone himself caps us off with a body change. We say, you mean we're getting the Holy Ghost? You better have the Holy Ghost now if you're going to get a body change after a while. And when you get a body change, it's like a spiritual molecular explosion. You are so close to your body change that the saints in that other dimension, no doubt they're edging right toward the very entrance of it now. Oh, hallelujah! The whole thing is waiting on the consummation of the sealed book, amen, being revealed in this day. And you have an exact copy written in your DNA. You say you keep talking about the seed and the gene and the germ. How did it get there? God put it there. And it's like a little cell from my fingernail or a fleck of skin or one of my hairs or whatever. Every one of my cells have exactly the same information. Praise be to God. Amen. So down inside of you by the breath of God, the prophet said, many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. When you was a little boy or a little girl, seemed like there was something inside of you that hungered for God. He said it was that election. Any of y'all remember that? Let me close. Waiting for redemption's claims. It's redemption. What is the book of redemption? This title deed, abstract deed. What does an abstract mean? It means it's searched all the way back to its beginning. You see, this is why Arminianism will never put the bride in the rapture. Arminianism will search back your life. And it'll take you back to whether you think you accepted it or someone told you about God and then they put a seed in you somehow. That's as far back as your Arminian belief will take you. But real word belief will go back past where you got saved It'll go back past your water baptism. It'll go back past your new birth. It goes past your daddy's birth, your grandpa's birth, your great-grandpa's birth. It takes you all the way back to the very beginning, when in the beginning was the Word, and the attributes of God were created in the form of Christ, a theophany creation. It takes you farther back than the altar. It takes you farther back than your water baptism. It takes you back to where? Right here, my brother. Right here. Is your title deed all the way back when the original was put in a body and a lid put on it, and then you had the matching copy of your deed? Lord Jesus. Let me read one more thing. Its redemption means all legal possession that was lost by Adam and Eve. Oh my, what that ought to do to a born-again Christian. Its legal possession to the abstract deed, the title deed of eternal life, means that you possess everything that Adam and Eve lost. Whew. Whatever it, brethren, the possession of that deed. Two copies. Both identical. God held the original. God held the original. And you had an exact copy in your spiritual DNA. Glory to God. And when it searched all the way back, and then God, by His microscope, looks at the spiritual DNA of you and searches you all the way back past your altar call, all the way back past your sins. Don't you see why that your sins are only temporary setbacks? Your shortcomings are only temporary setbacks? You go further back than your mistakes. So God takes you and holds you up under His spiritual microscope and searches you all the way back to the circle of eternity. And he goes through all the jars. I said, here, is this his name? That's yours. Oh, identical. Identical. There is not one difference in this book in heaven than what they are expressed on the earth. Give him the token. Glory to God. Give him the token. He is sealed forever. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And his father Zacharias, filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. But this is how loving he is. He came on a mission to redeem his people. But when he was here, he found many, many other people that were not his. And he said, look, if y'all want to go, you can follow us back. If you go to a pawn shop, any of you that's ever been there know that you can go in there, if you pawn a saw or you pawn a necklace or a gun or a guitar, whatever it is, and they give you a ticket, they give you a certain time frame to come back, and with interest, you can redeem that back. But if you leave it so long, then it goes up for public sale. Right? Now, only the owner or one with a ticket can redeem it. But you can buy it after the time runs out. But you see, our Redeemer came just in time. And while he was here, he saw some more human beings sitting all up and down the shelves of life. Millions of them. And he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world,
but that the world through him might be saved. Not redeemed, saved. So he says, I want to redeem all of these who match this original deed here. But my compassion and mercy is so great and so bountiful. I want to buy all the rest of these. I want to save them too. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Friends, this is why you should claim your children. You claiming your children don't mean your claim is going to make them bride. Only God makes them bride. But your claim might be something that will lay a hold on them. And they may not be redeemable, but they may be entirely savable. Look at Abraham, still claiming Lot. He by this time knew that Lot was a different character than himself. But he pleaded and asked God for mercy. And no doubt Abraham's prayer is what saved, not redeemed. It saved Lot, but it never redeemed him and brought him back into Lot's fold. You hear me? My Abraham never redeemed him back, but his prayer helped save him. Amen. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your lovers. Keep praying. God will save him. Many of us for years have prayed, God, make him bride, make him bride. God is not going to make him bride because you want him to be bride. Bride is his choice. But God may save him because you're praying.
That is true.
Praise God. Amen. You love him, children. Oh, hallelujah. I said one more scripture. Could I borrow 2 more minutes and read just one more? Romans chapter 3, Brother Daniel. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at this word. Deliverance. A releasing affected by payment of ransom. Liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. A ransom. So would somebody capture your child or your wife and call and ask me for ransom?
No.
So if I was released by payment of ransom, it must have been my father got the call and said, hey, got one of your boys held down here. I need ransom money. Glory. This is why I'm free today.
Amen.
My ransom was paid.
Amen.
You understand? I'm not just saved. I was held for ransom money. Why? I was part of the family. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray today, Father, that you would help us, Lord. If I didn't make these things clear, I pray that you will. I'm just human and I make mistakes. And Lord, I pray that you'd take and put together in their hearts what my lack of eloquence or my ability would help me to do. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we as your people, may we find our place, but at the same time, may we also begin to think like God. It's not that you've just started thinking this way. You've been this way all along. Well, we've got wrapped up in our little cultish ways. Well, if they don't come to the message, if they don't believe this and believe that, they're not even going. You ain't never thought that in the first place. You was not willing that any of them should perish. You never even made hell for one human being. It was created for the devil and his angels. But humans go there by their choice. But you don't want them to. You do not desire that they go there. You want them to be saved. Oh, they'll never live in the city and they'll never maybe receive eternal life by the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. You may not have a ticket in your hand when you walk into the pawn shop to redeem them, but you look at them with compassion and say, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst, let him come. Let him that's thirsty, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. If you want to leave this pawn shop, I shed my blood on the cross. And I will absolutely release you from your sin debt if you'll let me. What great love, Lord. You could have come to the earth and got your own and took them away and not let one other person be saved. But your grace is so abundant, and your mercy extends beyond what we can comprehend, that you offered it to those who were not your own genos, your own kind. So you'd say, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for being uncaring sometimes. Forgive us, Lord, for if they ain't in the message, they ain't even going to be saved. Forgive us, Lord. It must be a sign we're getting growing up. It must be a sign that the rapture's close at hand. We're opening our hearts, opening our minds, opening our understanding. And for that, we give you praise, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Worship is not exclusive alone to the bride. Salvation is not exclusive alone to the bride. Healing, deliverance, many, many things are shared, have shared components in this will. I think you and I would be better off if we just try to find our place and quit trying to play God. And sort this one and sort that one. You know, I give up my resume a long time ago. Once I got filling it out to try to be God even in my own life, I felt like I didn't meet the requirements. So when it comes to judging folks, we ought to just leave that up to Him. Don't you agree with that? Just let us find our place and do what we can do and let God sort them out. Let God identify who they are, bride, elect, non-elect, serpent seed. That's entirely up to Him. Let Him do it. But let's share this good news. If God moves on your heart to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus and you feel that restraint, not to mention to them the message, you say, oh God, I've got to. If the Holy Ghost restrains you from telling them about Malachi 4, don't you tell them. Don't you tell them. You tell them what the Holy Ghost gives you liberty to say to them. That's crazy. It's not crazy. That's what Jesus done. You're following the example of your Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus never told the whole congregation the mysteries of God, only the elect. We need enough sense, friend, to be able to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. And no, we are not compromising when we don't spill everything about the truth that we know. The Holy Ghost leads you to tell somebody about Jesus, tell them about Jesus. He leads you to tell them there's a better life and you stop there, tell them that better life. If He leads you to tell them about Malachi 4, tell them. Tell them there's another way. If God leads you, if He don't, go as far as He leads you and stop. You may have just been responsible for leading a person in this will to eternal life. And that person, listen to this, the prophet said, down through eternity, that person's name will be identified with you. Can you imagine you lead somebody, you don't even lead them to the message, but you lead them to Christ and they get saved, as we say, and through eternity, they are identified with you, Brother Tom. And they'll always look at you with awe and honor and respect. And they come into the city and see and they say, wow, He humbled Himself to talk to me. And every time they come into the city, they're waving at you. You remember me? I was at Walmart one day and I sat there crying and just really sad. And you said, you having problems? He said, well, I'm just, buddy, you know, there's a better life. Jesus can help you. Yeah, I know. You went ahead and put your groceries in the car and left. He sat there in the parking lot. I got to think about that. You mean Jesus loves me? In those very words, he sat right there and bowed his head and said, God, forgive me. You didn't even know it. But you followed the leading of the Lord. Oh, bride. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him together. Let's just close our eyes. Now, I know you got dinner plans and all kinds of plans this evening, but for a few moments, let's lay those plans aside. We'll never have a meeting quite like this today. Never again will ever be recalled with each individual that's here. So let's just take the advantage of the moment that we have. Praise God. Whether you're a bride, whether you're a foolish virgin, whatever group you belong to, you can't make yourself. God allocated to you His grace. But each of us should worship Him with everything that's in us from the capacity that we are called to worship from. Harry, sing something that's on your heart. Let's just worship Him now. Remember when the Lamb took the book and opened the seals, or took the book rather, before He opened the seals in Revelation 5. The elders fell down. The redeemed believers began to worship.
As soon as the Lamb had the book, they started saying, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Why? Now the Lamb had the book, the will, the title deed. Let's worship Him. If we believe the book has been opened and you've seen your identity in the Word, and you believe an exact copy of God's attribute resides in your soul, my, you ought to be the happiest person in the world. Can you imagine that individual that dug up that jar and they cracked it open, read down inside of it and said, "Oh my God, this is Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah the prophet bought this property 70 years ago, 75, whatever years ago. Oh my goodness. The Lord Jesus bought your property." Amen. All those years ago, it ought to make us rejoice today to know that our property is free. We're free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing it, Harry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
You set me free.
Oh, let's sing it now.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain.
Yes,
I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Thank you, Lord.
I am redeemed.
Yes, Lord.
Oh. You set me free. Shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting the fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. By the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, "Child, lift up your head," I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man I used to be. My tears are dead and gone, because I've got a new name, a new life. I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word.
Oh, yes, Lord.
What have I done to deserve such glory revealed in me?
So true, Lord.
Thanks for that special night when I saw this glorious light. Came face to face with eternal life. And Lord, I thank Thee.
Can we thank Him together? Praise God.
Just want to thank You,
Lord,
for letting me hear Your word. What have I done to deserve such glory revealed in me? Life. Came face to face with eternal life, and Lord, I thank Thee.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We rejoice in Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You love Him today, children, with all your heart. With all your heart. Aren't you glad your kinsman come to the earth to redeem you? Oh my, it looked like he was defeated. It looked like he had lost the battle. But he was victorious. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Midnight in the middle of the day. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing this before we go. The sun was hot. Angry mob gathered by the gray stone building. As a man dressed in velvet with a curly black beard stepped out on his balcony. Nervously washing his hands to rid him of the blood, Pilate never washed away. Oh my, wrinkled brow showed the whirling lines. Now hear Pilate say, oh, I find no fault in this man called Jesus, healer from the shores of Galilee. Command you to ask me to let him go free. Don't make me take his blood to the grave with me. Nervously washing his hands to rid him of the blood Pilate never washed away. His wrinkled, hallelujah, of this innocent man, our Pilate paid. Let's sing it now. Oh, and it was midnight in the middle of the day. Soldiers fell before his cross to pray. Oh, the world shook, the veil was rent as a sinless Christ was slain. And it was midnight in the middle of the day. Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We depart to leave this place. May your blessing be on the lives of your people. Thank you for how much you loved us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In spite of our failures, our mistakes, and our shortcomings, we can never get away from your love. Go with your people now, Father. May these folks visit them for the wedding. They'll be flying back home, traveling, whatever more. May you watch over them. How we long for that day. Glory to God when all the saints will gather together. And we'll sit at that great table. Hundreds and thousands of miles long. We'll reach across the table and take one another by the hand. And the king will come out, take his robe and wipe the tears from our eyes. Say, don't worry no more, child. It's all over. Praise God. The reason we can go there, Lord, is because your will says we can. The marriage supper ain't for everybody. It's by invitation only. Glory to God. Our reservation card was sent in before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. We love you, Lord Jesus. It's by invitation only. Thank you, Lord, that you helped us. We worship you now. Go with us, I pray, Lord. Keep us safe, secure, preserved in Christ Jesus until that great time of the body change, Lord. And if the resurrection, if that's our lot in life, then so be it. We're a winner either way. But the scripture says the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, then they'll be come up and be judged. And if it were not for your grace, that would be us.
but our allocation in the will. Just pray you therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be there? If God's picked you to be His bride, you are so highly favored. Remember when the angel came to Mary? Hail Mary, you have found favor in the eyes of God. She didn't find favor after she said, be it unto me. She was already favored before she ever said anything. You were favored before you even knew it. God bless you. Go in the fear of God.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by His grace I am redeemed, and only His tender mercies could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gains but losses to the glory of my alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is in Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, Christ alone.